ourselves to talk about things. One is we have the unreasonable request of the gentleman from the mother county for $383,000. Two is what else have you guys? Let's just go around. All right, with respect to we have an issue with respect to putting in salary money for LSO for salaries, and I think the number is $500K. Is everybody comfortable about talking about that?
Oh, so, sure.
So we need in order to get them to market adjustments.
Yeah, I thought that was
all of it.
There's already 300, and this would add to that to be a total of 800. So I think 500 plus 300 ought to do it.
Okay.
All right. Three is I wanted to put an amendment on the that Lewis Street issue for the issue there is whether or not as a condition before they begin construction of the STEM building. Whether Lewis Street would, or the, requiring the city of Laramie to vacate Lewis Street. So if we're going to start putting hundreds or tens of millions of dollars, we've already put that archaeology building over there. And it seems to me there's a time where we need to tie in that. There's a Section 300 that we missed that, what was the topic on that, Bill?
Mr. Chairman, I passed a copy of it out. The top of it's titled Legislative Service Office, and this is something that Dan Pauley and the Technology Committee of the Legislature forwarded to us earlier. It's to revamp the entire bill drafting system, fiscal note system, all that stuff. And what you talked about, Mr. Chairman, with the salaries. Probably, I think what Dan Pauley had in mind was that in addition to this language, we just pull in that section of the feed bill and put the additional salary money in here. But this money itself is for new system implementation.
Is that going to be, Mr. Chairman? Is that going to be enough? I mean, what's the plan? I obviously the stuff we got, it sounds like it's antiquated. You want to move to newer stuff, but are we going to move to where we're almost kind of getting paperless? There's the legislate, you know, sitting at our desk, we got all this stuff piled up.
Go ahead, Bill.
I think your co-chair probably can address this a lot better than I.
And
if not, then we probably ought to get Dan.
This is Representative Harshman, this is our first step, and it's a good step. And it's a lot of money, and they've been working on it, and so we'll be coming back again. But we will move in the right direction with this process.
Oh, I trust you
will.
Great.
So,
well, I appreciate it. Now, thank you.
With respect to local governments, local government representatives asked the following questions that some of them I don't think we have to address, but some of them I thought as they become, that they're going to come up in the drafting. One is, what is the data distribution of the dollars? Are we going to use, we had said August 15th, their argument is, why that? Why not back it up a month? I don't think there's any difference in the revenue that's available. So Senator Meyer said June 15th, and I guess the other question is, do we want to get it out on May 15th or something to take advantage of the summer construction season? So that's it. We ought to discuss that, at least think about it. One of the questions was, does SLIB have to do rulemaking on these ones, or can they still use the old rules that they had for the last time? It seems to me they can just revamp their old rules, but it's a good question. The issue about the 2010 census, whether we use that or not, has something to do with when they want the distributions. If we're going to use the 2010 census, then we need to make sure that the distribution is out past probably May or April, May, the end of May or something like that, I would think.
Mr. Chairman, I think that the official release date ends March 31st. So if you did it certainly by May there would be time to rebuild those formulas and all, even by May 1st, I would think.
And go ahead.
They did say, too, the last time they had the census, there was something that was extraordinary, and that was a correction because they had forgotten the prison population in Rawlins. And, you know, so I think that, you know, we'll just have to be cognizant of that if there is a correction, which necessarily this is something that doesn't happen very often at all, that, you know, we'll just have to deal with it the next time if there's something weird that shows up.
Well, I was thinking, you know, if we do July 1st as the distribution date, it's not going to hurt our profile any, and it'll be long enough to pick that information up, but we ought to talk about what they want. Those are the questions. So that's five topics. Anything else?
How about the Gillette Water? Go over that account?
I think the Gillette Water account is set up. I mean, that's just a matter of drafting. We'll have to see how it comes out. Was there something that was unresolved on that?
Mr. Chairman, you had designated that they take the funds from the consensus grant and move that into their
account. Oh, that's right. You wanted to we have Monday morning remorse. We'll
exactly.
Call that the remorse.
Mm-hmm. Not a good
Gillette
idea.
Gillette remorse.
Uh-huh. Madam Chair, we're sharing today. May I?
We're sharing.
Okay, may I address that? Okay, well, that's fine.
I know what happened, and that happened. So we'll address that as a topic list. So that's six. Any other topic list?
Mr. Chairman, I have one to add, a request for you to add 205 school foundation program, and I overlooked that on Friday. We should pull that budget into this. Into this bill and adjust the totals for two reasons. One, for the new revenue estimates and expenditure estimates, which is something we do every year, basically, whether it's a regular budget or a supplemental. But you also, I think you want to add a line for recalibration, for the costs of recalibration. We'll have a separate line item in there for that. And right now, that number will show up as $4.5 million. There's nothing, there isn't an appropriation in the bill, in the recalibration bill itself, so it will show here in the budget bill.
Other topics that people want to bring up?
Mr. Chairman, did someone bring up some online nursing registration? Or
there were two topics. There was one was online nursing that, and the other was apparently LubNow. Says that we're out of recruitment physician dollars.
So you have those?
Well, my problem with those is that those we didn't have any testimony on it. So I think at this point we either ought to have testimony on them or force them to bring it through the floor. We did fund part of that, didn't we? Didn't get there. What was the vote on that?
We just needed like one or two more.
Vote people supporting it? Okay.
And actually, like, if Madam Chairman, I'd love to have an opportunity to discuss that a little bit further.
Well, I guess the question there is, do we get to go back? And, I mean, we need to close this thing out. And if we're going to use the weekend as an opportunity to go re-lobby, it's a dangerous precedent. So I think I'd say no. Do you hit at the floor and see what you come out on the floor? Okay. You okay with that? I know you're not okay with it, but it's, you know, I don't mind talking about these open issues, but when we go to otherwise, it's just we'll end up. Why? I mean, by the way, this bill doesn't get signed by us and finally approved for another week, and if we're telling everybody that things are not open, people can continue to do it, so we got to finally close it. All right. Let's deal with the 383 first. You know, the 383 is, Jeb, it's not a big deal. What's a bigger deal, and I talked to to our leadership and the a couple things we have to recognize what's happening. 8 years ago when we started the committee size, actually the committee size has varied from 7 to 8 and down. The House, and I was chairing the House, Senator Schiffer was here, and we had, I think our rules at that time, we had to have a majority of both houses. Then things changed. This went to 8 people, and we were cognizant of the fact that one house could drive it. A couple things that happened that we should all remember, and this is a good lesson. One is when JAC meets during session, it's a very tense time because if we're meeting in December, our colleagues aren't here. We're more independent. We tend to operate more as a group. When we meet during the session, you're being lobbied by your colleagues. You meet with your leadership. We see our leadership. We don't meet with them, but we see them. And you begin to take on the attributes of a conference committee rather than a joint committee. So tensions run high. But I can tell you this was nowhere near as high as it was when Senator Schiffer and I were doing it. It got hot. This is calm compared to them. But the other thing that's changed that's different is that, like it or not, with fewer Democrats, so that you only have one Democrat, the dynamics of the committee have changed from last year and the other years. So what, before we leave the session, JAC, after we've done this, and this is behind us, we need to sit and talk about the rules, but I think we will propose that the rules, that we go back to the rules where we have a majority of both houses to avoid the issue. Now, with respect to the 383, Jeb, I think that you're going to get 100% of that on your side. And I think if you get co-sponsors on the Senate, you're likely to get at least half or all of it. If you get half of it, then you'll the conference or committee will work between. The way it sits up today, I'd be inclined to go and have the House strip it or the Senate strip it out because there was no support at the committee level. So then you'd be zero and you'd be fighting between zero and 383. You're going to get that on the House, 100% of it, and you may get it on your co-sponsors on the Senate, and we just deal with the problem goes away. Part of the reason I sort of drew a line on it is because it's important to recognize what happened on that vote, and it doesn't make a difference how it happened. It's just a recognition that on our side, if seven people, if the House can drive every vote, it won't be very palatable. So we need to recognize that the budget has to be one that we fully support and has to have support on both sides. So if I were you, I wouldn't strip it in half because you're going to want to go back and ask for all of it. So I'm asking you really just let's take it out of there. Your colleagues will get 100% on it, and if you get your support on the Senate, you may get 100%, and it may become a mere amendment. And we just take that issue off. But I don't want to take our budget out and go and explain, hey, by the way, here's an interesting vote and some things. It's just this is our issue. It just happened to happen on your vote. It could have happened on any vote. It just happened to happen on yours. But we have to recognize that as a JAC, we need to make sure that positions have support of both sides as we're going forward. And it may be that if you'd have talked to your colleagues over here the day earlier, you'd have had one support, and that's all it would have taken for me to say, fine, if you got one person, that's good enough for me. But it's there. It's where it is. You're going to get it, and you may get all of it if you put it through as a floor amendment. This way, you're going to be between 0 and 3, because I'll ask the Senate to vote it down because and describe the problem. I'm confident whether they agree or disagree, or they'll go 0, and then you're going to be somewhere between. And I don't want to put you in that position, but I also don't want to let it ride. think about it, and let's go down these other issues, and we'll come back to it.
Well, Mr. Chairman, first, I'd like to thank you for, I appreciate your recognition that, of course, the funding for this good program is really not the issue. And of course, recognizing as well that I'm one of those guys that I mean what I say and say what I mean. And when I go to bat for an agency, for instance, you know, I looked at this request with some study and preparation, and recognizing that when I made the request for the amount, that it was half of a biennialized amount, knowing that the budget bill will be effective immediately. So they're going to have to make do with an amount that is less than they really need. That said, a request to knock it down to half, you know, basically has no logic behind it at all. And you know, we would, and even closer scrutiny would show that what I requested was reasonable. So I guess that said, Mr. Chairman, I, again, understanding the politics of this and how it just became the center of a larger issue, that in my mind, where I come from, I'll stand by my words and maintain my position. But, of course, I would say that with some certainty that my colleagues on both sides of the House, at the end of the day, all we have is our vote, Mr. Chairman. And by no means do I trade votes or caucus votes, that I'm just going to stand by my word. And if any of my colleagues feel compelled to change their vote, that, like I said, at the end of the day, this is all we have. So if there's a motion, I'm going to stand by with my original.
Passed, and we'll just leave it where it was. All right, the let's go to the next item is number two, the $500,000. The issue there is there a motion to add $500,000 to the LSO budget for salary adjustments? Is there discussion on the motion? Pardon? I'm told that it's enough because there's another 300 there, and we can always bring it up later if we have to.
Okay.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. That's been adopted. The next item is the Lewis Street and the language that I'd like to offer is that that no construction shall begin on the STEM building. Actually, it'll just be a footnote to the STEM building. No construction shall begin until the city of Laramie vacates to the University of Wyoming those parts of Lewis Street between 10th Street and 14th Street. Thank you. Is there a second? And the issue there is that the university has acquired most but not all of the land north of Lewis. We've now put a $34 million building across it, and we're now being asked to put another $50 million. It seems to me that the state of Wyoming has just as much interest in that street, regulating it and making it safe for their students, as the city of Laramie does. The construction won't begin until after we meet next year, so if it turns out it's a problem, then we can strip this amendment off next year and it won't affect their construction schedule, but at least give them some bargaining power that they might not otherwise have.
Mr. Chairman? Go ahead.
The question I would have, I know they have some parcel or a parcel that's not purchased, and I'm just wondering with this, if that street is vacated, would the person have access any other way, or would we have them in a situation where the owner of that private property would have to go to the county commissioners for a private road access?
I think the everybody, as I know, understand it, has access from either 14th or 15th Street. And, you know, if they come back with a compromise, we'll accept the compromise next year. But I would, and we could, I mean, if they do the vacating and part of the agreement is they won't get rid of the road until certain things happen, I'm okay with that, too. I think they can take care of that in the vacation. It's not my intention that they necessarily go up and tear up that street, but I'd like to see the university, at least the owner, so they're the driver and not the city.
I understand that and agree with it. I just didn't want to have unintended consequences by that action.
Well, it we'll come back, and it's only between what I said is between 10th and 14th, so that the you could still go up on 10th and 14th Street around. What were you looking at?
Just a question. I was just for my own information. Where is that STEM building going to be located then?
And it'll be due north of the College of Engineering.
Oh, okay, on that block between 11th and 12th. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. All right.
Section 300, with respect to the proposed language here, the LSO language, we have a motion to adopt that. Any discussion on the motion? Everybody understand what it's about? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. That's been adopted. With respect to the next issue with the locals, the request is to move up the funding distribution until July 1st or earlier. So there's a motion on July 1st?
Chairman.
Okay.
Well, my only concern is we agree that it's going to be the 2010 census. So if we can move it up as early as we want, as long as we don't change that, is my...
First would accommodate everything.
Okay.
Does everybody agree? Sounds like it. Go ahead.
Well, that might not get us into the early season of the construction thing, so... I would just say move it up as early as practical after the 2010 census data becomes available.
I mean, what you could do is move it up. My guess is you could.
May 15th?
Even to June 1st.
Mr. Chairman, I would think that even May 15th would probably be okay. June 1st certainly would.
I mean, I think we ought to set a date because
Mr. Chairman.
That's our job. We don't need to throw it on everybody. So, Brian.
Mr. Chairman, after saying that May 15th will work, but June 1st will definitely work, I'm just going to move June 1st.
Is there a second? Discussion.
Whatever. We can do it 15 days earlier.
And they're going to get two summers out of it. Okay. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. That's been adopted. We have the Gillette issue there, and that's one where we had suggested that the Gillette distribution be earmarked for the Gillette Water Project, and I think that that caused some concern. Frankly, in the past, we've not done it. We've tried it before. Is there a motion to undo that motion?
So moved.
It's moved and seconded, so the issue on the floor is whether we undo the footnote that would have earmarked Campbell County's distribution under the city's towns and county distribution to the Gillette project. It undoes that earmark, so they'll get their money directly, but it'll also reduce the amount in the Campbell County allocation for the water project. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. That's been adopted. Then the next item is a motion to move the 205 school funding payments into the model to provide for adjustments for recalibration and current student numbers and any other rolled in new dollar amounts that occur simply because there's changes in the model distribution systems that are automatic. Is there a motion? The motion's been made. Is it seconded? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. That's been adopted. Anything else?
On that, for my information, was it understood how much money we were going to leave in the school foundation and not have it tip over so we'd have money for
that's
next
in
year?
The statute. That rolls
that's
out
in the statute.
Now. Yeah.
So it rolls out.
It's already in the bill, put it that way, from last time. So now it won't tip until the end of the biennium. So
we can
by the time
back
we
can do it next year if we need to change the
yeah,
tip.
By the time we come
okay,
yeah,
I'm
by
good.
The time we come back, we'll have the new appropriations. That's going to roll in and reduce the amount of potential tip. And if we appropriated next year, that would further reduce the tip. So it's going to be. Do you agree with that? Okay. So I think we just let it roll and see what happens.
Nothing tip before we got back here next.
That's correct. Does that close everything?
Mr. Chairman, I have two other issues for you, and then I'm not sure whether to bring the third one up. You kind of left 005 open last time with regard to specifically to the issue of moving positions from Laramie to Cheyenne.
Yes.
So I don't know if you want to close that and clear.
We're going to roll it out. We're going to close it.
Okay. The two others I have for you, one, I guess, given some of the consternation from the state auditor's office about what's supposed to go into the LSRA and what's supposed to not go into the LSRA, I guess I'd just like the committee's permission to clarify that language a little bit about the tips from general fund and budget reserve account.
LSRA tips to clarify that it should work as we have it profiled. Everybody understands the issue? All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. That's been adopted. We will not let the governor's office. No, it wasn't the governor's. It was the auditor's. I won't accuse you of that. You got you were with us. I just thought you were here, so I'd give you a guff, but I can't. Yeah, okay. Then next item on
Mr.
your list.
Mr. Chairman, the last thing I have actually relates to something that I approached Senator Meyer with earlier today so I could kind of get to work on the footnote language. And it has to do with the, I think it was $15,000 we added for the epilepsy program. There's already language in 048, and it takes the money out of tobacco trust. And my suggestion to Kurt was just to add that money in tobacco trust rather than general fund, and we'll just adjust the footnote by that amount.
Is there a motion to that the 15 comes out of 48 or at tobacco trust? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That's been adopted. Anything else? All right. Let's do roll call on the bill. As to close the bill and to pass the bill, we'll have one final vote on the written copy. So this is not your last vote. This is the vote on the bill as it's written, closing everything out, and then we'll have another roll call after you've read the text of the bill.
Mr. Chairman, one last thing. I think you guys would like to know this, actually. You want the good news? You actually reduced spending to the point where there's $77 million that is due to transfer into LSRA, given no other changes to this point, would transfer June 30, 2012.
Above and that beyond was profiled?
Well,
profiled in the goldenrod as it sits today?
No, Mr. Chairman. Not as of the January Craig status, but this is taking into account the governor's recs, what you did to it. The difference is he still had $61 million transferring in to LSRA June 30, 2012, but $50 million of that was earmarked for STEM. And if you'll recall, the only reason his balance is even close to yours at this point is because there was $52 million transferred out of the SPRA, the permanent fund SPRA, into the LSRA. You guys left that entire SPRA intact, $156 million. So it's still sitting in the permanent fund SPRA. Plus, you're sitting with a little over $1.1 billion in LSRA.
Okay, folks, here's what I'd like you to do, though. I want you to be very cautious. And, in fact, I prefer that nobody characterize ours versus the last profile, and here's why. Before you begin to characterize what we've done and the impacts on the goldenrod, you cannot forget that the governor, both governors, made recommendations for the creation of a variety of coffee cans that we didn't adopt, and principally the transfers to the auditor's account for Medicaid. And we've transferred those into the LSRA. And before we begin to articulate ourselves what we did to our respective houses, we will come back and convene to sign the bill. We'll have a new Craig update, and well, it'll be the same Craig, but we'll have a Craig update. We'll have a goldenrod update. But one of the things that we need to now talk about is, regardless of our differences of where we are, our job now is to defend this on the floor. And part of that job is to preserve have a philosophy with respect to the LSRA. Obviously, it may be that we say, look, let's restrain our spending to XYZ. But you need for people to recognize that we have some substantial obligations that may occur, that the governor created coffee cans. We put the coffee cans into the LSRA, and we need to have some philosophy about what is an appropriate level. On the House side, you'll have to convince your members that spending ought to stay at a level. If you don't, then if you don't have a philosophy, it's hard to present a recommendation. So the only point is that we would expect that there'd be more going in there because we stopped a bunch of flows. Also, there was forward funding on a couple projects into the next biennium that we took the forward funding out, and we need to recognize that those obligations will hit us in the next biennium. So we know that we've got SER funding, we've got things like that. And so, Bill, when you come back to us, you're going to have to remind us, and hopefully, I don't know whether you'd have the time, but if we can do the out to biennium profile so that we can begin to look at what that is. So just be cautious of what you're relating, and I guess it's news that pretty much expected.
And Mr. Chairman, that wasn't to my attempt was to tell you everything you did kind of blindly, or certainly without full vision of how it was all going to balance out. It did balance. It worked out okay. Secondly, the JAC profile won't be released until you guys actually sponsor this bill. So we won't be putting out profiles with JAC recs versus governor's recs. We'll show you a gov's rec, and we'll show you current legislative status, but it won't include the budget bill. It won't include budget bill differences. It'll be governor's rec plus additional legislation that's passed the first reading in a House.
About that, when is your anticipation that we'll have comfortably have a draft back and have a JAC profiled rec?
Mr. Chairman, my hope is to get you a bill by the end of this week.
Okay, so it'd be Monday, and that would give us the weekend to review Monday. And I guess for your side, Madam Chairman, our side, what I'd almost prefer to have is the bills with appropriation that you review not start hitting the floor until after we have a rec, unless they're small amounts. Well, I think they all add up, but at some point you have to make positions with respect to spending.
We can do that.
And you need to have that's the issue is when do those bills start hitting the floor, but Monday will be it. So if we have our profile out by Monday, then we can start going through our budget, at least the goldenrod profile, so people can understand the consequences of it.
Mr. Chairman, there can still be profiles go out with just the governor's rec with current legislation, but there won't be a JAC rec column until you produce this budget bill.
Well, I think on our side, if we can – let me think about that. If you bring us the language so we have the weekend to review it, we wouldn't vote on it till Monday, and – so then the first time we'd have a budget profile would be Tuesday. All right. Well, we may talk to you about maybe producing that a day earlier out of sequence a little bit in anticipation, because it occurs to me that either Friday afternoon or Monday, but I don't want to interfere with your drafting, but maybe even have it available by Monday. I mean, once you have it ready and your staff is comfortable, we might it might be appropriate to authorize it to go out on Friday. We'll kind of see what the general files look like. Crossover day is when? I want to say February. Oh, it isn't February. Pardon?
That's pretty late.
Mid. I think it's on that calendar that Don had made for us. Does this have to cross? Pardon? Last committee of the whole in the first house.
It's this one right here.
February 9th, so. It's okay with me to push the big bills to the last week. And that's what I mean, if we come back next week, we're in February, right? So the 31st is Monday. That means you've only got 1 week to do bills with appropriations. We may get pressure to put out those. I mean, we're starting to kick bills out now that are small.
Yeah.
But as we're doing bills with substantial appropriations, we might want to have a goldenrod out there.
Well, Mr. Chairman, the holdup isn't going to be the goldenrod because Dean's
it's
got
the bill,
it
it's
real
the process.
Close. We've got numbers. Yeah, we've got numbers about where we need them to be, and we'll integrate today's changes tonight probably.
Yeah, if we have a comfortable position on the goldenrod, maybe we'll just break with tradition and have the goldenrod produced as early as Thursday so that people could start seeing it. I think it's important to have that out there so people could see what we've done.
Yeah,
I mean, we're late enough on the budget, and we've got to start getting people to vote against amendments. All right. See you when our second conference committees.